Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. Tonight we're going to talk about the big picture. The big picture. A key principle in the Bible. And we'll look at a few verses here. Let me read in Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abram said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thy oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he parted, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Can you imagine this? Goes to the city of Nahor and comes to the city, comes to the well of the city, and prays this prayer. And he said, now, the person that comes to this well, and I ask them to give me water, and they say, I'll give you water and I'll give your camels water also. Let that be the one. Let that be the one that is of Abraham's family. And let that be the one that I'm going to take back as the wife for Isaac. Wow, amazing prayer. That's a pretty big prayer, isn't it? Can you imagine praying a big prayer like that? Well, that was a big prayer. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, before he had done praying, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with the pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Wow. Quite a prayer. Quite a work of God. Amazing. And of course we read in the rest of the chapter, we recognize that truly this was, as it has already said, this was the relative of Abraham. And this was the family that the servant was supposed to go to. And make a long story short, this is exactly what took place. It was Rebekah. Rebekah became Isaac's wife. And, of course, this passage has a lot of great principles about courtship in the Old Testament, finding a life's mate. But our focus tonight is, did you see the big picture? Did you see the big picture? You know, this isn't just about finding a wife for Isaac. It's not just about that. God worked in an amazing way. And what's really going on here is something very, very big. You know what's going on? The Bible says, Matthew 1:1, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. You know what this is about? This is about the line of Jesus Christ. This is about the line through which the Lord Jesus Christ would take on human flesh and be born of a woman and come to this earth and die in our place. This is the big picture. It's far more than here's a man sending a servant, find a wife for his son. Well, that's there. But that's only a little part of it. That's a little part of it. That's just kind of the surface. But what is behind all of that? The big picture. The big picture. And I see that this illustrates to us that one of the keys to understanding the Bible is being able to see the big picture. The big picture. You know, yes, it was important that Isaac not marry one of the children of Canaan. That was important. That is a Bible principle. But you know, there's something bigger than that. Because we're talking about the line of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the line of the Messiah. We're talking about the godly line in which the Son of God would be born upon, take on human flesh on this earth. That's really big. That's really big. And you know, you think of Abraham's life. You think about, he goes down to Egypt and he lies that Sarah is his sister, which she was, but he's also his wife. And he doesn't tell the complete truth. And so Pharaoh says, man, this woman's beautiful. I want her to be part of my harem, you know. And to make a long story short, you know, that's big. That's big. Because Sarah was meant to be the line of Jesus Christ. And for Abram to act foolishly in what could have happened, which it didn't, God prevented it. Boy, he took his eyes off the big picture, didn't he? He took his eyes off the big picture. His eyes were on the little picture. And so, the Bible is full of the importance of seeing the big picture. The big picture. Now, we could go to a number of places in the Bible to just talk about the big picture. But let's go to one that's close by. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Now, it's pretty obvious what the big picture is. Numbers 13, the spies have gone into the land. They came back, 10 of them with an evil report, 2 of them with a good report. And the ones who came up with an evil report in verse 31, the good report, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Did they see the big picture? Did they see the big picture? Did they see what God wanted to do? No, you know what? They saw the little picture. You know, they saw themselves. You know what I'm saying? They saw themselves. They saw the situation. They saw the obstacles. They didn't see the big picture, though. What was God doing? God had promised that land to Abraham and to his descendants. And they have been led up out of the land of Egypt. And God is going to give them the land. That's the big picture. They didn't see the big picture. And you know, I'm putting all the sermon together in one in this one, but you know what? They missed out on life. You know what? They missed out on life. Why did they miss out on life? Because they didn't see the big picture of life. They just saw this little thing in front of them, this little situation. They didn't see the big picture. And because they didn't see the big picture, what happened? For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Right? They wandered in their wilderness. Their life accomplished nothing for God. Nothing for God. Because they didn't see the big picture. You know, the big picture. You know, life is about seeing the big picture and being connected to the big picture. That's what life is about. Being connected with the big picture. You know, just think of how big the world is. What is it? 7.4 billion or 8.4 billion? How many of those people know that you and I exist? How many of those people know that when we die? How many of the 150,000 people who died today did you know about? Maybe no one. Just insignificant. insignificant in one sense of the word. And of those 400,000 people, those 400,000 soldiers, men who died in the wilderness, you know, we only know the names of the bad ones. You know that? We know the names of the bad ones, the ones who led the people in that which is bad. But all those thousands who followed them died in insignificance when they could have been a part of something, what God was doing. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, you know, this is big. This is finding the mate for Isaac. This is the biggest thing going on in the earth right then, and significantly for eternity, right? The seed of the woman, the seed in which Jesus Christ would be born from. Now, as you see, think about this. We notice something. When you see the big picture, you also, and when you're associated with the big picture, guess what? You get to see God work in great ways. Very simple truth. I mean, here this servant. Now Abraham, you know, he sends him, and the servant says, what if it doesn't work out? And you know what Abraham says? It's going to work out. This is big. God's going to send his angel. He's going to make it happen. He recognized a sense of the bigness of this whole thing. The covenant with Abraham is going to be passed on to Isaac. And then that covenant is going to be passed on from Isaac to Jacob. The line is of utmost importance. And so he prays a big prayer. And that's a big prayer. I mean, that's really a big prayer. Okay? You don't have any idea how many young ladies are going to come to that well. I mean, all the young ladies of the city are going to be coming to that well to get water for the evening, for their family. It's going to be a crowd of them somewhere along the line. I mean, it's not like there was just one family lived in that town. He prays a big prayer. And you know what? Before he even gets done praying the prayer, God's answering it. Amen? Right there she is. Rebecca. Right there. You know, why? Because God was fulfilling his big plan. That's what he was doing. He was fulfilling his big plan. Yes, you know, there's some great principles here about courtship. There's some great principles about marriage, life's mate. Those are a lot of principles that apply, but don't forget the big picture. What's going on? You know, that's important to understand the Bible, is you can't lose sight of the big picture. So, let's think about some of the big pictures. I was thinking Hebrews chapter 11. Now it's actually talking about Moses, and it's talking about Moses in Egypt. And and we're putting this kind to a personal level about Moses. verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him that is invisible. Now, so we take this Moses. Moses is raised in the court of Pharaoh. Now, obviously, we recognize his parents. There was a sense that his parents had that this Moses is more than just a little boy. This Moses is someone special. He's a part of God's plan. He was. He was the answer of the prayer of the people of Israel as they groaned under the oppression of the Egyptians. His parents somehow had a sense of that. They had a sense of the big picture. And of course he was put in trying to think of the word here. You know, the little ark there. And put in the bulrushes and Pharaoh's daughter. Just happened. Isn't that amazing? She just happened to be coming there that day. And she just happened to hear this little baby cry. And she just happened to have her heart knit to that little baby. And she just happened to say, hey, find a Hebrew woman who can nurse this child for me. And it just happened that Moses' mother was able to nurse Moses. And it just happened that Moses was raised in all the training and learning of the greatest university of the day. Learned language and learned grammar and learned writing and was trained in the most advanced civilization of the world. The man who wrote of God the first 5 books of the Bible. The man who the liberals, the rationalists, invented the JEDB theory, JEDP theory, who said, impossible for Moses to have written the Bible because the language of the Pentateuch is the most advanced writing that is known to mankind. Moses couldn't have written that, but he did. You know, was it an accident? No. There's a big picture going on. You know what? God was going to redeem his people, wasn't he? There was a big picture. But you know, Moses, he could have looked at the little picture, couldn't he? He could have looked at the little picture. He could have looked at himself and he said, look it, I got it made. I'm in the court of Pharaoh. All the privileges, the comforts, the riches of the greatest nation on earth at that time were available to him. Isn't that amazing? He could have looked at the little picture. He could have looked at himself. But praise God. He didn't look at the little picture, did he? He saw the big picture. He saw the big picture. He saw the people, the descendants of Jacob were the people of God. And God had a plan. And it's through those people that the Messiah was going to be born. It was through those people that Abraham's covenant was going to be fulfilled. It was the people of God. You know, he saw the big picture. What God's plan was. He didn't get caught up in the little picture. In the little picture of his comfort and his things. No, he saw the big picture. That's so important in life, to see the big picture. Now you think about the big picture. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and some Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now here's this fisherman. Here's this fisherman. Impetuous Simon. That's what his name was. Simon means vacillating, impetuous. And Jesus said, thou art Simon, but thou shalt be called Peter. A rock. Solid. Standing. Stable. Firm. Now, who is Peter? You know what? Peter's really a nobody. If Peter wasn't associated with Jesus Christ, who would he be? Who would he be if he wasn't associated with Jesus Christ? His name would be forgotten in history. His whole life would be forgotten in history. But you know, he was connected to something bigger than him. The Lord Jesus Christ. He lost his life in something that was bigger than him. You know, Mark chapter 10. The disciples, Jesus is talking about the price of discipleship. And about the rich people trusting in riches and how hard it is for them to enter the kingdom of God. And in the midst of that, Peter says in verse 28, then Peter began to say to him, Lord, lo, we have left all. We have left all and followed thee. That was true. They had left all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they left their job, they left their future, they left the approval of the religious establishment. You know, you could make on the list, right? You know, Jesus said, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And this is the kind of person going to have to follow me. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and the world to come eternal life. Wow. You know, it seemed like he was losing it all. That would be the little picture, right? But what is the big picture? You didn't lose a thing. You didn't lose a thing, Peter. Tell you what, you're going to receive 100-fold. And you know what? That's exactly what it is if you give your life to Jesus Christ. You haven't you might have. It made a, there was, it seemed like there was the test, right? It seems like, whoa, you know, yeah, this is crazy. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Follow him. Do his will. Oh, man. The devil says, don't do that. Well, that's the little picture, isn't it? What's the big picture? There's the big picture. No man hath left any of this that shall not receive a hundredfold. That's the big picture. You see, that's the whole test of life. That's the whole message of the Bible. What are you looking at? The little picture or the big picture? And so I will build my church. Oh, that's big. God's plan for this age, the New Testament church, that's big. That's big. That's the center of God's plan. That's where the action is. You want to see God work, you be associated with something that's bigger than you. You get in the center of what God is all about. Just like the angel. Working there at Mesopotamia at the well. Why? The servant was in the center of God's will. The servant was involved in something that was far bigger than just this young lady. He was involved with something that was big in the plan of God. And you know, that's the biggest mistake that people make in life. The biggest mistake in life is for people to miss the big picture. Miss the big picture. You know, most of us here are nobodies. We're nobodies. Even as Christians, our life could be like the 400,000 wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God provided for them, and God gave them food. God worked on their behalf. But guess what? They accomplished nothing for God. Nothing. Nothing for God. You know why? Because they didn't get connected to the big thing. You know, just like Moses, there is the temptation for us to just look at the little picture. Me. You know what I mean? Me. No, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it dieth alone. Right? Your life and my life is worth nothing in one sense of the word by itself. Our life comes to great significance when we connect with what God is doing in his big picture. Now, I like to think of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about all the different people in the church. And you know, it's talking about some big shots in the church. You know, there's some hands and there's some eyes, you know, and there's some ears and there's some big shots. But you know, we have some big shot stuff on our body. But you know, what do they say? There are 3 billion chromosome pairs in every cell. There's a lot of little shots in us. Right? There's a lot of little shots in us. And those little shots are important because the little shots are connected to the big thing. Right? And that's the picture we have about the New Testament church. Jesus said, I will build my church. That's his plan. You know, you and I, our dad, what we have, how we have helped the kingdom of God and involved ourselves in God's plan, the New Testament church, that is what's going to make our life important. That's what's going to make our life important. It isn't going to be how many dollars we made. It isn't going to be how many basketballs we put in a hoop. It's not going to be that at all. It's going to be connected with God's big picture. And so I think in 1 Corinthians 12, notice it says verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now... But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, he's saying there aren't a lot of big shots in the church. He's saying all these multitudes that don't seem to be important. He says they are necessary. They're significant. You know, not too many people stand in the mirror and look at their kidneys. You know that? Not too many people just, you know, think about how wonderful their kidneys are. And just, you know, dream about, you know, how people are going to notice their kidneys. But I tell you what, you get rid of them and you're dead. You know? And the Bible says, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You know, yep, there are parts of our body that aren't too beautiful. I don't know if kidneys are really beautiful. You know? There are parts that, you know, aren't, you know, we cover them up. But God says they're necessary. They're essential. And what's he saying? He's telling us that, yeah, most of us are insignificant. But when we're connected to God's plan, when we're connected to the big picture, our life has significant value. It's connected with the thing that's important in the world and in life. It's connected to God's plan. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Think of the big picture. Think of the big picture of life. Last week we talked about Jesus going across the Sea of Galilee, going to Gadara. I talked about Christmas Evans and his great sermon. Did you read that yet? He talked how that Christmas Evans and his understanding saw the big picture. Here's the Lord attacking the stronghold of the devil. Devil sends a great storm to sink the ship and kill the Lord. Of course, it didn't happen, but the big picture. The Bible is all about a big picture. And the wise ones in the Bible recognize that's the key of life. Moses had a choice. He could have been deceived and saw what seemed to be big, but wasn't. and missed out on something really big. And that's what the test of life is, isn't it? The test of life is to make the things of the world that really don't count, get our focus on them, and lose focus on the big picture. The big picture. You know, William Carey was a cobbler, a shoemaker. That was before shoe factories. And he worked with leather, made shoes. If that's all he ever was, nobody would even know his name. Right? None of us would even know that he existed. 99.99% of the rest of the world would never know he existed. He married an illiterate, poor lady. Very common in those days. Most people didn't know how to read. But you know, William Carey got a copy of The Adventures of Captain Cook. And Captain Cook had sailed the East Indies. Captain Cook had seen the masses, the multitudes, the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of souls that 90% or more of the world didn't even know existed. And William Carey saw all of these people as souls for whom Christ died. His heart was burdened. He connected with God's big picture, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he gave his life to the big picture. He was new. Of course, you know, his wife didn't see the big picture. She resisted. She was just kind of lost in the little cottage that they lived in. And of course, God overcame all of that. But what a contrast, a man who saw the big picture. His wife who didn't see the big picture. And almost kept, it was a bad scene. But William Carey became known today as the father of modern missions. Why? Because he saw the big picture. He could have been content making shoes. You know what I mean? He could have been content. I'm sure he was probably a good one. He could have been content just to live and die in that little town. But he saw the big picture. His eyes were opened to what God's plan was. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he got a vision of the souls of the world, the multitudes for whom Christ died, who had never, ever heard. And it is amazing, as William Carey connected with the big picture, because he was a brilliant man, but his brilliance became even more brilliant. As he went to India, and as he learned, I don't know how many languages in India. As he translated the Bible into I don't know how many languages. A brilliant man. And God used him in a great way. But his greatness was that he connected with something that was greater than him. the Lord Jesus Christ and God's plan. You know, even as a member of Quantico Baptist Church, the significance of your life is you're connecting with God's plan. And as you connect with God's plan, that is where that you see God do the big things. That's where you see God do the big things. And there's so much that could be said about that in so many different ways. Only eternity will paint the picture of the multitudes who've lost their lives on insignificance because they never connected to the big plan. Young person, that's your future. Connect with the big plan. That's where God works. That's where you will see the mighty, mighty things of God being done. That's where, at the end of life, you'll be able to say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Oh, it might be seen that, you know, the fact is we may seem to be insignificant, but nobody is insignificant when they are connected to God's plan, which is the big picture. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would take this truth, make it real to us, Lord. Help us to see beyond just what we see with our eyes. Help us to see the big picture. Help us to see, Lord, your plan, the big plan of Christ dying on the cross, the big plan that the gospel needs to go to the end of the world. Lord, we just marvel as we think of little people who have given their lives to, Lord, to get the gospel to the ends of the world, even our missionaries, Lord. And Lord, meaning has come to their life, how you've used them, because they died to self. We're willing to give themselves to be a part of your plan. And Lord, for some, that beginning of that plan as believers is to recognize the New Testament church is your plan. And to, Lord, identify with it and to give our lives to it and to increase its spirituality, increase its power, increase, its holiness, increase, Lord, its efforts, its works, Lord, increase its outreach. All those things, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that you will help that person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ tonight to see the big picture. And, Lord, they may never really understand it until they just obey you. And even as Moses died to self to give himself to you. And Lord, and of course we think tonight of salvation. Lord, man without God, in one sense of the word, as the psalmist said, is no different than the beast that dieth. Their life is being completely insignificant. But Lord, connected with the Lord Jesus, that life is now connected with something far greater than they, and a plan and purpose that's far bigger than their understanding. Pray that you'll help those who need to be saved. Lord, pray for your children, that they would be saved. that they would see the big picture of life and they would rush to the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray you'd work in our lives tonight. Pray you'd encourage the people of God, those people who have given them their lives, Lord, to make your plan what it ought to be. And I pray that, Lord, that you would increase that number. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.